Now, I'm assuming, I think it's a right assumption that everyone that's here tonight, that every one of us know the Lord. I think, I'm not going to ask you, don't leave now or anything like that, but if I were to go around and start from one to, do you know the Lord? I think everyone would say yes. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think so. But let me ask you this question. Do you think that you could know Him better?
Yes.
One person, yeah. I think maybe a couple of us would say the same. Would you agree as a whole? I mean, everybody, you know, we could know Him better. We could know Him better. You know, there was a long time ago, before I was born, I think. Now, that was a long time ago. But I think it was before I was born in the Ridgewood Church. Brother Hans Walfogel was the pastor, and there was a lady that came to the altar, and she was praying the rosary. You know what that is? Say no. No, maybe you do know. You can know. It's okay to know what that is. And, you know, that's, well, I guess the Catholic Church uses that mostly, I assume, and they pray these beads and they have a set prayer to pray. And she came to the front in the altar at Ridgewood Pentecostal Church, and she's there with her rosary beads and she's praying the rosary. Now, what do you do with that? Well, some people might go over to her and say, you stop that, cut that out. We don't do that here. But he wasn't going to do that. He knew better than that, I guess. I'm sure he did, or the Lord helped him to know better. And he went over to her and he said, you know, sister, she said, I don't have any brothers, so I don't know who you're calling sister. But he said, sister, when you hold that bead, you know, why don't you pray this prayer instead of praying all Hail Mary, Mother of whoever, whatever you want to pray. Instead of praying that prayer, just take that bead and say, Jesus, I want to know you. Jesus, I want to know you. And then he said, then get to the next bead after that prayer. And then pray this prayer when you get to the next bead. Jesus, I want to know you. I want to know you. And then take the next bead. Now, how many beads are on a rosary thing? I don't know either. But he got around to it. And every bead, he said, just pray, Jesus, I want to know you. Jesus, I want to know you. Jesus, I want to know you. And then he said, then you get to the cross. Every once in a while, once in a blue moon, you get to the cross. Finally, he said, take the cross and say, Jesus, you died on that cross so that I can know you. I can know you. And then if you want to keep praying, sister, then get to the next bead and say, Jesus, I want to know you. You know, that's a pretty good prayer to pray. And I don't know that we ever get to the end of a prayer like that. You don't need a string of rosary beads to pray it. You can just pray it right out of your heart. And if you mean that prayer, I believe that we could all know Jesus better. I believe that He wants us to. I believe that the path of the just is a shining light, and it shines more and more unto that perfect day. And every one of us could know Jesus in a better way, in a richer way, in a fuller way, in a deeper way. And I believe that maybe the Lord has put that desire into your heart. That's why you've come to camp. I hope that's why you've come to camp. Maybe you're here to, you know, maybe you just love washing pots. I don't know. Maybe some people just like that. But I think maybe there's a greater desire. The Lord has brought you here. But now, why has the Lord brought you here? Why am I here? What does He want now from me? Well, I'm here. Here I am. Yeah, that's good. But Lord, what do You want from me? Do You want my desire to be towards You? Do You want Psalm 62, the psalmist prayed, Lord, my expectation, it's from You. Lord, I want You. Who do I have in heaven but You? And Lord, there's nobody on earth that I want besides You. I want You. So, Lord, I want to know You. I want to know You better. And if you pray that prayer, and it's kind of a simple prayer, and it doesn't take a long time, but if the Lord would begin to answer that, or continue, maybe we should say, to answer that for you, I don't know what that would mean. It might mean a different thing for every one of us that are here tonight, but maybe there's something that we read like in 1 Corinthians, your eye hasn't seen, your ear hasn't heard, it hasn't entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for those that know Him. But He has revealed those things to us by His Spirit. And maybe the Holy Spirit at work in our hearts to make Jesus more real and precious to us. That's what the Holy Spirit has come to do, to take the things of Christ and to make them real to us. Maybe the Holy Spirit will make Jesus more real, more precious. Maybe we'll understand more His love for us, the length, the breadth, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ that passes knowledge. And so I just thought of that lady those many years ago being taught to pray, "Oh Jesus, I want to know You." And you know, the Apostle Paul prayed that, and he was already at the end of his life, almost. The last epistle that he wrote to the church was the one at Philippi. And he writes there in the third chapter, I want to know Him. I want to know Him. I want to know the power of His resurrection. I want to know Him better. And the Apostle Paul had preached and taught and established churches and seen sick people healed and people half dead or dead raised to life. And now he's there still praying. I guess he got to the next bead. He said, "Jesus, I just want to know You better. I want to know You better. I haven't apprehended that for which I've been apprehended by Christ, but this one thing I do, I'm going to forget everything behind and I'm going to reach out to that which is yet before. I want to know You better." And so as we sing that last stanza, maybe that's your prayer, and maybe you'd like to just say it yourself, not through the lips of the songwriter. That's good to do too. But I don't just want to take the things that these songwriters put into my heart or my mind and reiterate them, but I want to make that my prayer. Lord, I want a closer walk with You. Near to Your side I ever would be. Shield me and hide me. Lord, constantly guide me into a closer walk with You. In this meeting from 8 to 9, and when I get out of this meeting, when I go to bed and wake up tomorrow morning, I want You to keep on just drawing me, draw me, draw me, and I will run after You. And He'll do that in answer to our prayer and our expectation and our faith. And so may He raise our faith and our expectation to receive from Him and that we get to know Him. You know, some of you are going to be counselors. And that we might know Him so that others too might know Him and that we might be able to lead others to Himself. So Lord, help us. Help us just to draw closer to You and to press in and to know You better. If you take your Bible, let me read a verse of Scripture to you tonight from Hebrews, the 8th chapter. Hebrews chapter 8, beginning with verse 10. Obviously, the writer is writing to the Christian church, the Jewish people. And they were familiar with these words. This is a quote, a word that you find in the Old Testament spoken. But it's spoken about the New Testament time, the time that these Hebrews were living in. And the Lord says in verse 10, "This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put My laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be My people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' because they will all know Me, from the least of them to the greatest. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more." Now, that's a wonderful promise. And it was fulfilled, thank God, many years ago. And we enter into the fulfillment and can enjoy it. But I'm thinking especially of that part that says, "They shall all know Me." Nobody's going to have to be taught just by the rabbi or go to somebody and say, "Now teach me, to help me to know. I don't know anything. You got to help me to know. There's no place I can find out but from You." You don't have to do that. There's a time that's coming, the Lord says. There's a time that will come after this time that He's talking about in the Old Testament where they're all going to know Me. Everybody's going to know Me. They can. The opportunity's there. From the least of them until the greatest of them. Now, who's the least here tonight? Okay, we've got a couple that are taking the position. Who's the greatest here tonight? One guy raised his hand. That was a shock. No. Okay, I know he's just kidding too. But yeah, who's the least, who's the greatest? What does that really mean though? I don't think it means, you know, I'm the humblest one here, so I'm going to say I'm the least, right? Is that why you did that, Brother Peter? You're the humblest guy here, so you raised your... The least is the servant of everybody, right? But what does this mean? What does it mean here? They'll all know Me from the least. Does that mean from the youngest to the oldest? From the least intellectual to the most intellectual? from the rabbi's son, could that be, yeah, from the rabbi's son to the proselyte? Who is this talking about? Who's the least? You don't know? Well, I guess you might take anybody that you want to find that you might consider, you know, less than what you would think to know the Lord, like that little kid or that little kid down in the Hopefuls or that kid up there in Onantham that looks like he's lost in space. Yeah, they'll never know anything about anybody. They can all know me. Everybody can. From the one that looks the least likeliest to the one that looks like they have the greatest potential. From the youngest of them to the oldest of them. From the ones that went to rabbinical school and the ones that never went to rabbinical school. They all have the opportunity. Everybody, anybody that wants to, they can all have the opportunity to know me. To know Jesus. To know the Lord. We can all know God. Everybody here. Everybody in this room. Everybody that comes onto these grounds at Pilgrim Camp this week. And I believe that camp has always maintained that everybody who comes onto these grounds comes onto these grounds by God's appointment. I was with some of our older ministers Friday afternoon. And one of the older ministers, you'll know who this is right away. I mean, it's no secret. But one of the older ministers said to me, I told the staff one time. And I said, I believe you probably did. I know you. She said, I told the staff, if they don't want to be here, go home. If you're not here by God's appointment, then you shouldn't be here. Just go home. Everybody that comes to Pilgrim Camp by God's appointment. And if you're not here by God's appointment, then you don't belong here. And every kid that comes off the bus or comes up by car on Tuesday comes here by God's appointment. They may not know that. The parents might not know that. But Pilgrim Camp has prayed and people have prayed and have prayed much that God would send to Pilgrim Camp by His appointment those who He designs to be here when they're here, and that God would then teach them Himself to know Him from the least to the greatest. From the potboy to the waitress to the guest to the retired pastor guest to anybody who's here on these grounds. Nobody has an edge. Nobody has an in. Everybody can know Him from the least to the greatest. But then I started to think, what does it mean to know Him? You know, I think we are in a day that we're lost, we're kind of clueless. What does it really mean to know the Lord? Some people will pull out their Bible quiz books and they'll start asking a myriad of Bible questions. So, well, I could prove that I know the Lord. I know what brook David took the stone out of that he went to kill Goliath with. You know what brook that was?
Kidron.
And see, the head of the clay. He knows the Lord. If you know that, you know the Lord. You can get a home run in Bible baseball with an answer like that. And, we can go on and on with. And some people equate, I know a lot of stuff upstairs in my head, and so I know the Lord real well. Is there anybody here that really thinks that's what it means to know the Lord, to know a lot about Him? To know a lot of facts from the Bible? Is that what knowing Him, is that what this verse is all about? Or is it something different than that? Just, you don't have to tell me what. Is it different or is it that? You think it's different? I think so too. We can know a lot about Him. I had a professor at college, Queens College, when I went to Queens College. And he knew, I took a class on the Reformation, and he knew the book of Romans inside and out, backwards and forwards, up and down. He just didn't believe a word of it, but he knew the book of Romans. You know, you can know the book of Romans verbatim and be able to spit it out, chapter 8, recite the whole thing. There is therefore now no condemnation to the man of Christ Jesus, walk not after flesh, but after the Spirit. But he didn't know the Lord. He didn't get to first base in knowing the Lord. He didn't have any desire or care to know the Lord. He just knew a lot of stuff in his head. Knowing the Lord isn't knowing a lot of facts about the Bible or a lot of stuff. Maybe you know in Greek and Latin, it's not written in Latin. So if you know in Latin, you missed a Greek and Hebrew or whatever, but that's not knowing the Lord. You talk about knowing the Lord, some people, they don't pull out their quiz book, they pull out their checkbook. Oh yeah, I know the Lord. Look what I gave to the Lord last week. Look what I gave to the Lord the week before. Look what I gave to the Lord. Look what I gave to the Lord. You don't pull out your quiz book, you don't pull out your checkbook, you don't pull out your notebook or your calendar book or any other book. I did a lot for Him. Look what I did for... Knowing the Lord is different than that. What book do you pull out to know the Lord. You have a book you pull out? I got one.
It's this book.
And to know the Lord, you've got to get into this book. But not just to know a lot of facts about what this book says, but to really see what this book says about knowing the Lord. Like, they that know the Lord, do you know the rest of that verse? They that know the Lord do exploits in His name. And a lot of other things that the Bible tells us. If you really know the Lord, this is what you'll find. Not a lot of, not a walking Bible encyclopedia. Not a person who just does stuff all the time for Jesus. But people who know the Lord, the Bible tells us. The Bible gives us our basis for seeing and testing ourselves to see whether or not we really know Him. Do I really know Him? From the least to the greatest, have the opportunity, but do I? And I may think I know Him because I've come to camp probably every year, you know, for I don't know how many years. That doesn't mean I know the Lord. Oh, because I've served on staff and I've done that, and you're serving on staff and you do this and you've been a guest. And that doesn't make you to qualify for knowing the Lord. The Bible does say certain things like, if you know the Lord, you're going to bear fruit. They that know Him, they do that. What is that all about? They that know the Lord, there's an inner strength that God imparts to them. They can run and not be weary. They walk and they don't faint. They that know the Lord, and we can go on, and there's a lot of different things that the Bible says that if we know the Lord, maybe you can test yourself and see whether you do, or how much further there is yet for you to grow in knowing Him by looking at the book, looking at this book, the Bible. And then seeing from this book, oh, I could know Him better there. I could know Him better there. One of the things the Bible says, and I would hope that during the course of the week, and I know you all won't be here and during the course of the week, but maybe we can look at some of those things together in our morning or our evening or whatever the Lord leads, whatever He wants to do during the course of this week. We could look at some of those. If I really know the Lord, then this is what ensues. This is what follows. This is what the Bible says should be the mark in my life, the character trait in my life, the thing that I'm living. Christianity then isn't a bore. It's not a joke. It's not a ho-hum. It's not a, oh, no, again. But it's a joy to serve Jesus, a joy that throbs within my heart. Why, I just can't keep silent like that old song that I once heard in one of our old pastor's cars one time. Sit down. I maybe told you this before, but they were singing. A choir was singing. Sit down. And then the rest of the choir, the soloist, had that part. Sit down. I can't sit down. And then they go, sit down. And the choir would respond, I can't sit down. And then it went on. I just got religion. And I feel brand new. I'm filled with the fire and the Holy Ghost too. And then you say, sit down, I can't sit. Did you ever get to that place? You know, when you know the Lord, it's like there's a fire that's shut up inside your gut and you can't forbear. That's what the Bible says. Like, yeah, I just have to. You're going to explode if you don't, because you know Him. And to know Him is to love Him. And to love Him is just to be filled more with Himself. And to be filled more with Himself, it's just glory just to walk with Him. And so His praises just, they just flow out of your life and out of your heart. His praises are continually in your mouth. The fruit of your lips giving thanks to His name. Where does it all come from? Oh, because Jesus is so real. Sit down. I can't sit down. I wish I could, but I can't. Because I'm filled with fire. It burns in my heart. And they that know the Lord. And by the way, this is biblical basis for everything that I've said. They that know the Lord, they feel that. They sense that. They understand that. And if you don't believe it, just look at the Apostle Paul's life. You try to shut him up or sit him down or stop him from doing or going. He couldn't. But you might get beat up or killed there. So what? It doesn't matter. I'm willing to go there. You know, bonds and afflictions await. I know that too. But I'm willing to just give my life. Why? Because I just know Him, and I want to know Him better. And to know Him is to serve Him, and to serve Him is to love Him, and to love Him is everything in the world. And so every one of us could know Him as is prophesied or spoken about in Hebrews 8. And as has been fulfilled in the coming of Jesus Christ and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. and I think I alluded to it before, but let me just mention it yet, from Philippians 3, it's verse 10, where that cry, maybe we'll just turn to it, let me read it with you if you have your Bibles. Philippians chapter 3, and I'll read the verses that surround that, what I think is a precious statement by the Apostle Paul. In verse 7, he says, whatever was to my gain, I counted it all loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. Did you see that for earlier up in that verse? I want to just know Him. There's a greatness of knowing Christ, and because of that desire and greatness of knowing Him, I just want to suffer the loss of everything. Everything else I count. What does He say? I count, but what? Rubbish. You know what rubbish is? Garbage. Everything else. Think of it, really. Think of it in your life. Everything else is rubbish in comparison to knowing Him. All the accolades of the apostle, all his learning, all his education, all his upstanding citizenry, and all the position and fame that he had taken upon himself by virtue of his knowledge, all of it, it's a loss. It's all rubbish. It counted all but dung, I guess the King James says. Just for the surpassing greatness of just knowing Him. Just to know Him. And then he goes on and he says, and I want, verse 10, I want to know Christ. And I want to know the power of His resurrection. And I want to know the fellowship of His suffering, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. Lord Jesus, I just want to know You. And that will mean, if I do this kind of a life as taught in this kind of a book, not in the figment of my imagination of what it means to know Him, but Lord, this is what Your Word says knowing You means. And so teach me. Teach me, Lord, to know You. Teach me to know You better. Teach me to know Your will and Your ways. And I pray that for every one of us, whether you'll be here for the week or not, but I just pray that God will help every one of us to be moved along in that vein. That everything else will be rubbish. Everything else will be a loss. Everything else, well, it just won't concern us. The things we sing in our song, the things of earth, will grow strangely dim. Strangely dim. In the light of His glory and in the light of His grace.